The text is the gospel reading from St. John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but his son belongs to it forever. So the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." I think freedom, freedom, freedom is one of those song riffs that is a cantus firmus, a fixed song of America. I couldn't think why this 1968 Aretha Franklin run should be playing and replaying in my head all this month. It was only after I had fixed on this theme for our text that I noticed this building, pulsating, freedom, freedom, freedom is the cantus firmus underlying a current T-Mobile commercial. So what kind of freedom does Jesus promise in our text when he says, "You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free"? Is it the American freedom Lee Greenwood sings of? How about the freedom Gloria Steinem writes of? Or Jesse Jackson marches for? Could it be the financial freedom that Dave Ramsey preaches? Or the sexual freedom the LGBTQ groups demand? Whether it's social, political, economic, or even sexual, you can bet someone in that group traces their quest back to the words of Jesus and even to the writings of Martin Luther. Most do what I did, go with the bare words. That's what UT did in 1935 when they engraved on the entrance to their main building, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." An unspecified truth, any truth will do. Say feminist, economic, LGBTQ, political, social, any one of them can set you free. Is that true? Well, Jesus doesn't say that the truth in the abstract sets you free. He ties it firmly, not to his teaching as that insert translates, but to his word. And he's emphatic about that. If you remain in my word, says Jesus, it's Jesus' word and no one else's that counts. And it's not hold to his word, but remain, abide. Hold brings up images of another song, "Hold On Just a Little Bit Tighter," and throws the freeing truth back on us. Well, it is on us to some extent. Jesus throws it back to the Jews who had believed him. This group is to be distinguished from the group in the prior verse, those who came to believe in him. When the preposition "in" or "into" is there, believing denotes moral faith or trust. Our text lacks the preposition. So this group are those who had claimed to believe him. This group rejected Jesus' truth that they needed to be set free. They said, as the seed of Abraham, they had never been enslaved. True, the Egyptian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, and now Roman occupation were all imposed upon them. But Jesus isn't talking about enslaved socially, physically, or politically, but by sin. And from that, everyone needs freedom. Not so fast. LGBTQ people, they don't think they're enslaved by sexual perversion. Those living together, they don't think they are under the tyranny of fornication. No, 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 that's the way they like it. See? No harm, no foul. Consenting adults means no sin. And it's not just sexual sins people don't think they're enslaved by. The racist laughs at the thought of being enslaved to hatred. The gossip thinks he's free from blame. The overeater can stop eating anytime he wants, and so can the overdrinker. He's not a slave of food or drink. And you don't think you're enslaved to your sins, do you? Who's enslaved to something they consider a pet? Your wondering eyes are nothing more than appreciation. you're worrying about this and that. Well, that doesn't expose you. You have an idle named self, but shows you're a responsible parent, student, citizen. Go ahead, mock those chains. Deny your slavery. And know that you're only forging harder, longer, thicker chains. Jesus is here to break those chains. And so he begins not with, "I tell you the truth," but, "Amen, amen, I say to you." This Hebrew word, amen, passed into Greek and English as transliteration, not translation. Luther translated it as, "This is most certainly true," or, "Yes, yes, it shall be so." Only Jesus uses amen in the sense of a single or double certainty. And Jesus begins the chain breaking with the double certain truth that all who do the sin are slaves of the sin. Got sin? I do. Plenty of them. So many that with David in Psalm 40, I can say my iniquities have overtaken me and I'm not able to see. They're more numerous than the hairs of my head. So many that with David, my heart has failed me. With Charles Wesley, we sing, "I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin am I." And if we admit this, then the second part of Jesus' chain breaking lands home. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. But you already knew that. The law, though clouded by generations of inherited sinfulness, is written in your heart. And it convicts you that Augustine was right. Slavery to sin is worse than all other forms of slavery, be it political, economical, racial, social. He says, quote, that at times a man's slave, worn out by commands of an unfeeling master, finds rest in fleeing. But whither can the slave of sin flee? Himself he carries with him wherever he goes. An evil conscience flees not from itself. Yes, he cannot withdraw from himself, for the sin he commits is within. Go on, try to tell me you don't know this. Try to tell me you don't feel this. Try to tell me you don't see this. Even the pagan world does, as it seeks to drink itself, drug itself, exercise itself, discipline itself, philosophize itself, meditate itself, to escape self. But Paul Revere and the Raiders knew that was impossible over 60 years ago, 50 years ago. They sang, "There's nothing that you ain't tried to fill the emptiness inside. Don't you see, no matter what you do, you'll never run away from you." Tell me that this 1966 song didn't get it right. Augustine would have thought so. I didn't finish quoting him. After saying that a person cannot withdraw from himself for the sin he commits is within, he goes on to say, he has committed sin to obtain some bodily pleasure. The pleasure passes away, the sin remains. What delighted is gone, the sting has remained behind, evil bondage. This is Carrie Underwood singing, I don't even know his last name. This is David after forcing Bathsheba and murdering Uriah. This is Peter's denial. This is Paul stoning Stephen. Each did the sin that was pleasing to them at the time. Each got the passing pleasure, and then came the chains. Till the chain breaker came for them. That's right. The Lord sent the prophet Nathan to the adulterous and murderous David. Jesus came personally, more than once, to break the chains choking Peter the denier. And Jesus came to Paul personally. And then he sent Ananias to him with the baptism of forgiveness to wash his chains away. And the chain breaker comes to you today in his word. The only word that can free you from your enslavement to self, to sin, to get you away from you. Jesus doesn't say, as the insert has it, but a son belongs to it forever. The text is wrong, the insert is wrong. It doesn't say a son belongs to it forever. Jesus says that while the slave of sin does not remain in the house forever, the son, not a son, does remain in the house forever. But what does Philippians 2 tell you about the son? He took the form of a slave, same Greek word as here, First, he lived the life of a perfect son. He was the Heavenly Father's beloved son in whom he was well pleased. "That's my boy," the father cried out from heaven when Jesus obeyed his mother. "That's my son," the father cried out with pride whenever Jesus feared, loved, and trusted him above all things, which was all the time. "That's my beloved child," the father cried out with joy as Jesus called upon his name in every trouble, praised, and gave thanks. But then the father said to him, "Damn you." It wasn't enough to break the chains that bind you to sin and self for Jesus to be the perfect child in your place. All your sinning incurred a debt, a heavy one, an eternal one. So Jesus the Son obeyed the Father when he handed him the cup filled with his eternal wrath against the sins of the world and commanded, "Drink this." Drink it, Jesus did, every last drop. And so as Philippians says, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Roman citizens were not crucified. Slaves were. Jesus dies the death of a disobedient slave, nailed to the cross that has your name on it and all your sins on it too. Can you hear the freedom riff building? Freedom, freedom, freedom. You may be a slave to economic realities, to medical realities, to social realities. You may be an actual slave in a foreign country. But as Galatians 5 trumpets, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. There is freedom in him, freedom in his perfect life, freedom in his guilty death. Paul continues in Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. How so? Paul told the Galatians how earlier in chapter 2. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith has to have a place to hang its hat. That was an observation of Luther. Faith has to have an object outside of itself. Otherwise, faith becomes holding on to self, an internal exercise in positive thinking, little engine that could living. And now we're back to where it all started. The only truth that makes you free is the truth that the words of Jesus. The truth that he breaks your chains by his words, "I forgive you for good and forever," in absolution. Your baptism, joining you to Jesus' death and resurrected life, is like acid to the chains of sin and death. In the Holy Communion, while eating the body and drinking the blood that Jesus gave and shed on the cross, you are to believe you are chomping right through the chains that bind you. As with the last time I preached, so here I think a change in title can help. The actual title of the Aretha song isn't Freedom, but Think. Reveling, celebrating, proclaiming freedom in the abstract is its own kind of slavery. I don't know what I'm freed from or for, but at least I know I'm free. Think. Not as Aretha saying about what they're trying to do to me. Think what the Son tells you in his word that he has done, still does, and will do for you. Think on this truth, and you will be set free. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We sing the offertory on page 8.